Welcome to the My Name is Human Earth 2.io podcast brought to you by MyNameIsHumanPod.com. I am Human Hazy.
And I am Human Snoke.
And we have a bunch of humans with us today. Kind of to talk about a lot of different things. We have Bull Combo. We have Hydra. We have Meta. So let's just start with Hydra. What have you been up to the past? Oh, it's been a while since you've been on the show. 6 months.
Hey. Hey. How you doing, everyone? So what have I been up to? Life has been pretty much about work, NFTs, maybe a tiny bit of Earth too, and a lot of crypto stuff. Just been taking the opportunity whilst Earth 2's been a bit quiet to learn a bit about the crypto space, make a few errors, make a few gains, and yeah.
I've made a bunch of errors and not so many gains, but I'm learning.
That's what it's all about. Just a bit of fun, right?
Yeah. How about you, Combo? What have you been up to?
Basically the same thing. A lot of disgusting degenning into ridiculous projects that'll probably never pan out because they seem interesting. But it's been a lot of fun just learning about all the different metaverses coming out and all the different NFT projects and starting to see some of the communities come out and then the recent Earth 2 changes. So things are good.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're going to talk about today. Snoke, before we get the meta, what have you been up to?
Oh, I know I've been away for a little bit, not really working, but just had a baby boy about a little over a month ago.
Congratulations.
So. Congrats. Yeah, thank you. So he's been taking up most of my time.
That's awesome.
All right. Last but certainly not least, Meta, what's been up with you, man?
Yes. Do you know what? Pretty much the same thing. Working as usual, following Hydra's tip. So I followed him on all of his losses. I followed him all of those. I didn't follow on any of his wins. So yeah, I've been doing NFT stuff and a bit of crypto stuff, but and a tiny little bit of Earth 2. Starting to do a little bit more Earth 2 as you've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Yep, same here. We're going to get back into it a little bit, I think. So let's talk about the bad maybe that's happened in the past few weeks, and that's the devs leaving. Wolfgang's left, Nathaniel's left to start his own project, and he dragged Thomas along with him. Not sure that's a bad thing, but that's another story. So what does this mean for Earth 2? I'll kick it off to Combo to start this. What do you think this means for Earth 2?
I think that just means that they're moving in a different direction. And, you know, we've seen this said before, I've said it before, but just because someone is the right person or people are the right people to get you to a certain point doesn't mean they're the right people to get you to that next phase or that next step or that next stage. So I'm hoping that that's what Earth 2, you know, and the team was acknowledging. And that's the reasoning behind some of these moves. It seems like that would be the case. Nevertheless, I think they're taking a really an approach I appreciate and I kind of agree with in terms of bringing in people that have the skills and also partnering with studios that have larger resources that Earth 2 can leverage and utilize to hopefully, you know, get to that end goal. So yeah. I personally don't see it as a huge downside.
I don't either. And I think the fact that they're not afraid to cut losses with people that are popular in the Earth 2 community says that they're more focused on what's right for them and what's right for the project than what looks right. Meta, agree, disagree?
Yeah, I think I agree. And it's to do with timing. I think when you look back at November, December time. I think did the business start originally as just Shane, Nathaniel, and Wolfgang? Pretty much. I think they were the kind of core three employees with maybe a couple of people around the edge. And I think they were even freelance at the time. So I think had they lost, you know, Nathaniel or Wolfgang in December or January, I think they'd have been in a lot of trouble because they wouldn't have had any infrastructure. They wouldn't have any funding. And I think it would have much bigger impact, but the realities change over time. And they're in a place now where they've got, I don't know, upwards of $60 million in the bank. They've got a bigger team around them and potentially even more new members to the team with this potential acquisition. So I think timing's important, but yeah, I mean, it's a loss. I mean, if Nathaniel's good, I don't know how good he ever was or ever he ever is. I'm not a developer myself, but if he's a good developer, then it's a shame we've lost him, or shame Earth 2 have lost him. Same with Wolfgang. But if they're not fitting in with the plans, then it kind of makes sense to make the decision, I guess. But I'm glad it was done now rather than 12 months ago.
Yeah. I agree. Snoke, you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I know when I first joined, it was mainly because looking at the backgrounds of the developers, like Wolfgang and Nathaniel.
Yeah, I mean, what they've created. I joined because of Nathaniel's Terrain video. So
right.
So and I mean, so that's what got me in.
Hearing about Wolfgang, and then they didn't really like release anything. It's just, you know, the community that was able to find out that they left. I was like, okay, well, you know, and then, but Wolfgang did say, you know, he's still under NDA, so he can't really give out details of, you know, the gameplay or anything, but I still think they're taking a lot of his original designs and putting that into work. It's just like Wolfgang even said that his views and R2 views are different, so that's the reason why they split. So
yeah, R2 was pretty anti-crypto, wasn't he, as well? So I imagine that played a big part.
Yeah, I don't think Wolfgang was interested in the crypto aspect, and I think that might have been something that pushed him away. Lloyd, or Hydra, I'm sorry. your thoughts on this before we move on to your favorite subject, Jules?
So, look, I've got to say, I think Earth 2 hasn't had a roadmap in a number of months or really ever, really. And in spite of that, we've had two very strong developers, and that really concerns me because these guys have been around a while. They know how products are pushed out, and you know, why didn't we have a roadmap? So look, I'm hoping that this is an opportunity for Shane to take control of the project, articulate again what his vision is, and kind of make that happen, perhaps with a bit more control and you know, with less strong personalities around, perhaps, or people that are more cohesive to his vision. So I think it's a good thing for the platform. I think it's a good thing for resolving, you know, what we all bought into at the start, to be honest.
And that's a good point you make about strong personalities. When you have three leaders all working, they necessarily can't really work cohesively because they all have their own strong-minded vision. So that, in looking at it in that regard, like you said, that could be a good thing because it lets Shane really take charge.
Yeah, agreed. I think I've got to be honest, I think Shane's grown quite a lot since he started out with this. And I kind of look forward to where he goes as a leader from here.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I said as much in my most recent editorial. All right, so let's get to the fun topics. Now we're on to the good stuff that's happened in the past few weeks. So jewel crafting came in, and one of the things it did was it allowed for crafting of jewels that added +2 ETH detection to every property that had this jewel slotted. So I crafted and put one in all my properties, obviously. So I had stockpiled a bunch of jewels and basically crafted a bunch of Jamaicas and sunrises, not too many of the sunsets because those are a little bit more complicated. And I slotted all my properties, and my ETH production went from maybe 1 to 200 a day to 1,000 a day. So it's made a huge difference in terms of ETH production for me, which leads to more essence, which we'll get into this in a little bit later, is obviously a huge deal now. So Meta, what is the importance of these +2 ETH jewels? I mean, obviously the jewel market has blossomed since this happened. The prices tripled, and you can sell Jamaicas and sunrises for $3 a piece. So there is a thriving jewel market now.
Yeah, for sure. And I've sold quite a lot. You know, my initial reaction was, buy the rumor, sell the news type thing. And when it dropped, I thought, you know what, this is a great time to sell some jewels in the market. Inevitably, they'll go down at some point, was my viewpoint. And I think they probably still will. I think the essence crypto, whatever form or shape it takes, is going to still take a couple of months to get here. So I think the hype will die down a little bit. And I sold, I think, mostly around the $3 mark for the Sunrise and the Jamaica ones. If I can get them back in again at a dollar again, you know, why not? And it's not huge money. I might make $100, but it's more playing the game, I guess, element of it. It's interacting with it.
I did the same. Like after I slotted, I sold every extra one I had.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's massive, you know, and if we can assume that essence is going to be the crypto, which I'm sure we'll come on to, but if that is the case and the only way to generate it is through land generation, through essence on the ether detection and generation.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. That's
got massive value.
Because tier one is going to be the only one where you can get jewels and that ETH creation. So that, we'll get into that a little bit later, but that makes jewels a very important part of what looks to be the future of the crypto, so to speak. Snoke, your thoughts on the plus two ETH jewels?
You know, I think it's a great idea, especially since Shane did kind of announce that Essence is going to be that crypto in a sense. I still am a little worried on the Ether to Essence conversion and if that's ever going to actually be like mapped out or something, you know, that's shown in a sense.
I think that's just a random number generator, it almost seems like, because it'll like some days I'll get 80%. Some days I'll get 40%. Meta, has that been your experience? Pretty random.
Yeah, same thing. And I'm not even convinced that stacking the jewels is the same as putting them across separate plots. I think there's a science to it, but because obviously ether detection is random, right? So if you've got a 750, it's likely you'll detect some ether. If you've got a one tile, it's likely that you're not. So if you boost the one tiles and you get a guaranteed two and you're likely to detect them anywhere on a 750, I think there's definitely some science behind the best way to slot, because I haven't got enough to slot every slot. So I've been slotting all the smaller properties in the hope that the bigger properties are going to detect it anyway. Kind of thing. So I was kind of slotting the ones that I didn't think were going to detect anything.
So if you have a property, let's say that holds four jewels and you put four like Jamaican jewels on it, will that be eight ether?
Yeah, it should be plus eight.
I think. Yeah.
That's my understanding. So Hydra, I know this is your favorite topic. What are your thoughts on the plus two ETH jewels and jewels crafting?
Look, jewels.
Did you slot all your properties?
I did slot and then I unslotted and now I am reslotting with the new jewels. But yeah, like I've got to say, this is not my strong point though. Like gameplay of anything really, except for like the occasional Oculus game, is definitely not my strong point. But look, I don't think jewels is a concept unique to Earth 2. We're seeing that in a lot of other platforms. I think Sandbox are even talking about slotting and enhancing properties with certain things. So, you know, I think it's a necessary thing. I think it shows some level of commitment to the game and you've got to put the work in to get the results out. So I kind of respect that. I don't really like the interface too much, but that's just me and maybe I'm an old fart. So who knows? But that's me.
Have you used the bazaar any, or are you pretty much just hoarding what you have?
I've got quite a few jewels, so
yeah, I kind of figured that. You can always sell them to friends at discounts, just so you know.
Thanks for letting me know.
So Combo, what's your thought on the jewel craze?
I definitely agree with Hydra on the user interface. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I do think on the flip side, it's the first, well, there's a lot of, as Earth 2 came out, there was a lot of people claiming that, you know, there's no way to make any money or make any of your properties. I feel like it is the first reward for people that own properties without having to sell them to another person. So in that sense, I think it's a huge deal for the platform, because it's a reward, again, that doesn't require someone else holding the bag necessarily. And that's all assuming that Essence is going to be a crypto and there's going to be value behind it and things like that. But from that perspective, I think it's great. I think it adds a level of depth to the platform. And let's be honest, anything that you can do to add depth to the platform right now is going to be received well, because there's not a lot of actual things to do. So all in all, I think it's a benefit. I think it's a positive. I think overall there's been some mixed reception on it, but I think that mixed reception is either the user interface concerns, or
give us more
don't have a lot of jewels, or they just find it confusing or a little bit like busy work. And it probably is, but if there's a reward at the end of the day, then I'm down with it.
Okay, so I think that's
enough
on the
Joe. UI is horrendous. I mean, but most of the UIs.
Yeah, the user interface is terrible.
Let's be honest, they've improved it. It's improved in the last year. I mean, from where it was to now, lots of improvement. But yeah, it definitely has some growing to do.
Stuff. And the resource boosting element of it is still a little bit meh. There's no resource.
Yeah, so, and that's the thing that drives me nuts is you implement this aspect, but it's not in play because it's not doing, and we can get into the hollow building story. Like I made one hollow building just because I didn't want to, I'm not going to spend a lot of money with this backdated storage of resources. I'm going to just wait and see how it plays out when it actually comes out. So I put one hollow building down.
There's no getting around it. It feels a lot of the time, the thing, in any particular order, it almost feels like they kind of gone thrown all the releases up in the air and gone, right, well, let's just pick two or three up from the ground and drop those. The hollow build is coming out, EPL is coming out before it's even before phase three, which feels like a phase three feature. So, I think there's a lot of stuff out of order still, but I guess big picture in a year's time, maybe it all slots together and it makes sense. We'll see, I guess.
And that was one of the things I've always been critical about Earth 2 in the past is these haphazard releases. They felt to me like distraction techniques, and Shane's argued that's not what these are, but that's just what they look like on the surface. It looks like let's appease people and put something out. So we'll move on now.
I think there's definitely an element of that for sure. I think Shane does feel an obligation to get something out to players to enable them to do something, and I think that's what we've talked about it before, where I think that's where jewels stemmed from. I don't think jewels were ever in the initial roadmap, and they were something that was thought we could bring this out.
Shane even said he thought of them and just thought of them in February and decided he was going to add them to the game.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was even initially a Wolfgang creation. It was a Shane creation.
Yeah. Which doesn't make it a bad idea as long as they can implement it into the game at some point, right?
Yep. All right. Tier 2 properties. This is a big change. So basically about 2 weeks ago now, people on the test server could see that they were implementing a tier 2, and shortly after it got released. And what that means basically is you can't buy any new land on Earth 2 under the tier 1 classification. So any land you buy now on Earth 2 is now tier 2.
Unless it's in the marketplace.
Right. You can buy marketplace land that's tier 1. But any newly bought Earth 2 land directly from Earth 2 is now tier 2.
Yep.
And tier 1 comes with a lot more benefits. It comes with what we were talking about, jewels. So tier 2 property can create a lot less jewels. Like I'd have to look at the chart. There's a chart out on the Earth 2 website shows you the benefits of tier 1 versus tier 2. So I would recommend looking at that because I don't have it memorized. But one thing I do know is you can't get ether or essence from tier 2 properties, which we'll talk about later is a big deal. So what it did do is it reset the tier 2 prices of land to 10 cents. So there was a mass rush of property purchases. I mean, the US is, I don't even know what it's at now, but it went up quickly. I ended up buying my house. Yes, I doxed myself for like $1.50 a tile. I didn't. There was website issues, so I wasn't able to get in until the prices were $1.50 a tile. And that was the only U.S. I bought. I did buy some tier one in countries that I hadn't been in previously just because of the price. So I bought some South Korea. I bought some Paris, France. I bought some Berlin, Germany. I bought some Sydney, Australia. I bought expensive tier one prices at cheap tier two prices just so I had some property there. So this was a big change. Hydra, what did you think of this change? I'll tell you my thoughts. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also like it. I think it not only gives existing players the opportunity to buy land in kind of places that were just out of reach before, I think particularly the US, etc. But I kind of like it as well because it gives new players a low entry point to kind of get in. And I think third, it gives existing organizations, whether they're guilds or megacities, etc., the ability to kind of develop those projects that have always been in the works.
But right, they can add to their infrastructure pretty cheaply now.
Exactly. So I think it's cool, and it lets organizations come with a really cohesive offering to future investors or future participants later in the game, and just really get their roadmaps completed. So win.
Snoke, what did you think?
You know, at first I was like, well, and I noticed this a lot in E2 Gen chat. There's a lot of people that were mad about it because they're like, I just bought this property yesterday, and then all of a sudden, you know, especially if they bought in the US.
Well, they don't realize the property they bought yesterday has more value because of the benefits.
But a lot of people at first glance won't realize that at first glance. So yeah. I could see a lot of people's frustration, especially if they bought in the US when it was $60, and then the next day they could buy it less than a dollar. There were still people buying US tiles. It could be only like a couple at a time, but there were still people buying them. And like even right now, I just checked, it's $446 a tile right now in the US, and that's been only what, like 2 weeks since
they launched. I'm not paying $5 a tile for tier 2 tiles, sorry.
Right. And I wouldn't I'd be blown away if that goes above like $20 a tile. I wouldn't be surprised, but I was able to buy my first Flex, which was pretty nice. So I did buy that with tier 2 tiles. But
congratulations. Yeah. All right, Combo, did you buy any tier 2 properties, and what are your thoughts?
No, I didn't buy any. I didn't buy anything for multiple reasons, but nothing really negative. I decided not to buy anything. I think it's a great idea, though. Personally, I think like Snoke said, at first a lot of people panicked because they don't understand the value of what they purchased previously, but I think it makes sense. I think that, you know, it's funny, we talked about this a lot. There was a lot of conversation about the idea of them changing the class system and tier system of land a long time ago, and we were like, ah, no, they'll never do it, and then they did it. So I think it's good. I like
the way they did it, though. Yeah. It made sense the way they implemented it. Meta, exactly. You agree with that?
Yeah.
I do, and I think it was good, but I think there was also some negatives as well. And just in case people don't know, so it's changed from, because I've seen this been misquoted a few times. So previously we had tier 1 classes 1 through 5. We've now got tier 2 classless. Right? There's no class on tier 2. Because I think some people have mentioned about like tier class 2 and stuff like that. So that's where we're at the moment. But I think bringing it out at 10 cents, I think is great. I think it makes it a lot more accessible. I think the pricing is still going up too quickly, in my personal opinion. I feel like it's still a little bit short-sighted. You know, if we've gone about another 600,000, 700,000 tiles sold in the US and we're already back up to $4, or whatever it might be. I think at $1 million, the price is about $77 a tile. Which
I think
is a lot.
You shared that picture of like the
right. You shared the comparison. The comparison
with the pricing. Yeah. So some numbers for you. So that as of I think it was 2 days ago, which is when I ran the numbers. Tier one total tile sales was about $49 million. Was the latest number. Tier two tile sales were just over $2.5 million. Oh, wow. So that's where they're at in terms of revenue. But I think at $1 million tiles sold in the country, $77 is too high. I think they've got trillions of tiles to sell. I think they want to make the, you know, point of entry low. I don't think anyone's coming into the game wanting one tile, right? I think people, especially if it's one tile that doesn't generate you any jewels, generates you very little essence, you can't really do much with it in terms of playing the game. So I don't know. I still feel like it's going up too quickly. I would have liked to have seen it maybe just sat at 20 cents, 10 cents, just permanently. And let the appreciation of what you build on the game or what you add to the tile, where the appreciation in value comes from.
I don't remember where I heard it, but someone said that, because you remember back in the day that they were always talking about a base tile before they launched tier 2 tiles. And one person, and I don't remember who, and if I knew I would give them credit, but they said it would be nice if it was like a percentage off of, you know, the tier 1 price, like let's say 95% off tier 1 price. Now, no matter what country you're in, 95% off of that price is what the base tile would be. Yeah. Something like that would be even interesting.
You bring up a good point, Snoke, about the base tiles. Are the tier two tiles the base tiles? I think they are.
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah. I think they are. But what happens when, so, you know, you take a country, I don't know what any off the top of my head that have got the lowest price, but I don't know what, take an 80 cent tier one tile, right? Pre the lockdown element, if it was 80 cents for tier one, it's pretty much going to be locked in at that price now, right? Because you can't buy any more tier ones.
Right.
So what happens when tier two hits $2? Now you've got a tier two tile that's higher than tier one. How does that affect the upgrade, which we may talk about, you know, because I would assume that when you're looking at an upgrade, you kind of need to factor in the cost difference between tier two and tier one. So if I've got a 10 cent USA, I want to upgrade it to a tier one USA, I need to kind of fill that $59 gap with something, essence, right. USD, that, whatever it is. But when it flips, what happens?
That's going to be interesting to see how they do that conversion, yeah. Because they do have to make it significant. Like you can't,
right.
It can't be fair.
For some countries significant, but not significant for other countries. So it can't kind of be a flat conversion.
Right. So it needs to be based on the floor price for the tier one tiles. So
but what happens when you've got a country that's only sold 150,000 tier one?
Right. So you look at the individual price for each country. I think you have to have a conversion based on what the max price, the existing price of tier one is. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of questions I think that's still unanswered around it. And I like the fact that, like I say, that there is a lower point of entry. I like the fact they're going to sell more tiles, bring more players. And I think there's a lot of positives. But I'd like to have seen that increase slower or maybe even linear for a period of time. Even if it was for you know, 6 months, it was going to be 10 cent tiles to try and generate interest. Because I think the most important thing is going to be building the player base. And, you know, Earth 2 have already got a lot of more than enough money to develop for the next couple of years.
So. With no ether essence, limited jewels and resource creation, is there any value for tier two properties? Combo, you think there's value?
Oh, yeah, I still think there's value. I mean, especially when it comes to what you can create on it. Mm-hmm. We don't know all of the value that those lands are going to hold yet because we don't know all of the features and tools.
One thing I know, you can't generate ad revenue on tier two.
Right.
So that's a big deal too.
Well, it is a big deal, but I still think experiences could be a big deal. Yeah. And I think ad revenue is a very broad thing to say. Like you can't place an ad like on your Earth 2 tile, but I don't think there's going to be anything to stop you from once building and 3D is available at some point to put some ad inside your land. I mean, there's nothing to stop you from doing that. So yeah, I think there'll be certain rewards that aren't available for tier two by default that are available for tier one. But at the same time, you know, just like I see when people ask me about where to buy in the sandbox, I say, I don't really think there's a certain spot that's best. I think it's all about what you plan on putting on your land. And so I think that as we get further into Earth 2, I think that'll be a thing that becomes more important. But we don't know what's going to be available yet. So.
Meta, do you think there's value in tier 2?
I think, a bit same as Bowl. I think, there's, you know, what you put on there is going to matter. But I think the other value is going to be upgrading it to tier 1. Yeah. I think if you're going to buy tier 2, I'd probably consider buying them in different, you know, blocks of 9, blocks of 16. Because if the upgrade cost is going to be expensive and you've only bought 750s, you may never get to upgrade them.
So that's exactly what I did. I bought blocks of 16. I bought blocks of 16.
Yeah, which I think is a sensible approach because it's going to be incremental. It's going to take time. I hope it's going to take time. I hope it's not easy to upgrade to tier one.
Did not buy a single flex. Hydra, did you buy any tier two? And what are your kind of thoughts on the value of tier two?
I didn't buy any tier two. Look, as I said, I think it's good for people who aren't involved in the platform to buy tier two to get involved. I think it's also smart of Earth 2 to continue to raise money from the community instead of having to go outside to venture capital or other people who could take, you know, control of the project in some kind of way. I don't want to deal with the hassle of upgrading stuff. I'd rather retain existing, tier one properties myself. But yeah, you know, definitely good for new people to get involved at a lower price point.
Hydra, you don't want to craft jewels. You don't want to upgrade land. You want to build.
He just wants to make. He just wants to make money.
Hold and just be rich.
He just wants to make money.
No, not at all. Not at all. I did craft jewels. But I was so confused that I did craft them. Yeah.
All right. So the big news of the week, and probably the best news that Earth 2 has had since I've been a part of the project since February, they partnered with Polygon Studios. This is going to be the platform driving the blockchain aspect of Earth 2. I'm going to let the experts go into this a lot more detail. Both Meta and Combo have dropped videos on this, and I'll link those in the show notes. And we have Hydra, who's kind of a finance expert here. So we'll kick it off with Combo. You have a video on this. We'll go, like I said, we're going to link that, but give us your quick overview of what you think this means for Earth 2.
I think it means that they're approaching the right resources. I don't think it guarantees success necessarily or guarantees that things are going to work out. I just think it shows that they're starting to approach things from the right direction. And they chose a really good studio. I mean, Polygon Studios is, they're a fantastic organization. They're partnered with the largest blockchain projects, you know, basically that exist right now, the play to earn projects. So, I mean, either they did their research appropriately and they chose the right company, or they stumbled backwards into Polygon Studios and it somehow worked out that way. And we'll see what happens from there.
Well, and I've made the argument that the whole Ben Godenzi Go chain thing is what led them to Polygon. Right. They realized how bad the whole Real Joker Go chain thing was. And that's when they started looking into it. And that's why it took so long. And even one of the Polygon Studios execs said, "We've been working on this for months. I'm excited that we can finally announce it." So it's not something they just did overnight. It's something they actually took some time for. So that actually encourages me that they looked at something and took a little bit of time. That's where I came into my apologizing about, you know, I've always been go, 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 go. But, you know, sometimes something like this does take time. And I had to step back and realize, you know, Rome, it wasn't built in a night, even though I want it to be. So,
and to piggyback off that, it's also encouraging to see that Polygon Studios decided to partner with Earth 2. I think that's probably the more
right. Yeah, definitely.
because I don't feel like they would partner with them unless they had a glimpse into what was going on, what the plan was, and they felt like they could either benefit from this or help push the project to a point where it could be successful. So I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So quick, I just want to ask a question to Bull Combo. You just said that it could either be where, you know, they did the research and they found Polygon, or they were so ahead and they fell back on the Polygon. What do you mean by that?
I just feel like it's interesting that they chose to go Polygon's route, because there's a lot of different blockchains they could have chosen. I mean, Solana's a hot one now.
So don't you think maybe seeing Decentraland and Sandbox on Polygon might have been a motivating factor?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. That was the first thing I thought of. I mean, if you can't beat them, join them, right?
Right.
That's the smartest thing. And Polygon's, they're the leader in that space right now. So,
yeah. So Hydra, you're a due diligence expert. You're a finance expert. You deal with crypto a lot. What are your thoughts on this partnership, and kind of explain the due diligence process that Polygon would go into with a company like Earth 2?
Yeah. So, look, I think firstly, Polygon is a really good decision, just because one, it is an Ethereum layer 2. We're not reliant on new blockchains like Solana, which personally I'm not a fan of, or Avalanche or any of the new ones. But we're actually sitting in a level 2 solution, complete with, you know, things like ZK rollups, which are interesting new technology about you know, reducing the cost of transactions, etc. So I think it's a right move for them. In terms of the due diligence that Polygon would do out of a company in like Earth 2, I think the first thing is looking at basic things like compliance and KYC controls. And I know that Earth 2's been banging on about this for the past 6 months. And, you know, I think this kind of stuff's necessary to get ahead. So I really like to see that out of them. I think when you look at the partners that Polygon Studios has, I think Earth 2 is actually in a very strong place from this perspective. So I think that's one key call out. Outside of that, I think it's basically it gives us confidence that the platform has a vision and a roadmap, which is something that a lot of us have been questioning for some time. But they would not score a partnership with someone like this if there wasn't a solid backing a solid view as to where the platform was going, and I guess some consensus that it could be pulled off. So that's why I kind of gained a bit of comfort around Polygon, and that's why I like this.
So are there any potential problems with this partnership that you can foresee?
I think, again, it comes down to the ability of Shane and his leadership team to collaborate with outsiders and external parties. Again, you know, given the departure of Wolfgang and Nathaniel, I think we need to make sure that that is a consideration, and that's going to be something that's possible. Outside of that, look, I think it actually gives Earth 2 a benefit of the exposure, but also the downside of more visibility into their platform, right? Having their name sitting alongside Decentraland, Sandbox, Animoca brands,
and not being on the same level as those brands. Yeah, I can definitely see that as being a problem.
Exactly. What I will say is Earth 2 may not exactly be on the same level of these brands, but there are certain factors where it is ahead. You know, we've already got things like, even though I hate them, Jules, we've, you know, Sandbox is still thinking about.
One thing we've always talked about is cost of entry. Earth 2 is way more affordable than Sandbox and Decentraland.
Exactly. So, you know, I wouldn't write it out yet. I'd just like to see where this goes over the next 6 to 12 months. I've always had kind of a longer investment time horizon out of this. So I think it's a right move in right now, and we'll see where it goes.
All right. And Meta, you had a video on it. Kind of give us your overview on this Polygon Studio partnership.
I think from everything I can tell, it seems like a smart move. I'm not an expert when it comes to NFT gaming. I don't think there's that many experts out there. It's all quite new at the moment, right? So from what I can see, Polygon and Polygon Studio seem good track record, you know, certainly the projects they've worked with. I think the big advantage, obviously, for Earth 2 is that had they not gone with a studio, they'd have to hire all these people themselves. And, you know, it's no secret that Earth 2 isn't full of blockchain experts, right? They don't have a 10-person strong blockchain team. They don't have a history of tokenomics. They don't have that level of depth of understanding. So, you know, the amount they'll benefit from talking with that team, even if they're not taking, you know, instruction from them, they're just taking advice, be able to run ideas by them and say, do you think this would work in terms of the token side of things? And Polygon will be able to, or Polygon Studios will be able to give some feedback or some insight. I think that's going to be the invaluable part for them. I don't know how involved they get in the, I don't think they get that involved in the development of the game, the gameplay, anything like that. It's pure from a going from Web 2 to Web 3, right? It's how do we migrate and integrate things like NFTs and tokens and token metrics into it. So I think, you know, the amount of knowledge they've gained from partnering them is, I don't know who else they could have gone with because I don't know the space overly well, but from what I've seen, it seems like a pretty smart move, yeah.
All right, so I think everyone's assuming Essence is going to be the token, the coin. That's just kind of the way it kind of things.
Shane did confirm it in the A2 Gen.
Yeah, Shane did confirm.
Okay,
yeah.
So the speculation obviously is what's the initial value of the coin going to be? I've seen some stupid stuff in Gen Chat.
We'll have like, no idea, I think.
Like never, ever. Like these people are talking $1 per coin. I'm like, you're smoking crack.
No.
Yeah, it'll be more like 0.0001 per coin initially.
Yeah.
So I think we can all agree that's going to be the initial value of the coin, but can it grow? And if it can, how so? Hydra, I'm going to go back to you because this is your area of expertise. Where can the Essence coin go, and how? What's the best way for Earth 2 to actually implement this?
Yeah. So look, I think the best thing the best way to look at this stuff is actually in terms of market capitalization, right? And you know, not exactly the value of the coin, right? Because I don't know how many coins are going to be issued. So I think in terms of that, a realistic valuation for the platform, like if you look at Sandbox and their token, I don't have the numbers up in front of me, but you know, that's in the billions.
Yeah.
You know, I would say a market cap of 500 million is probably where we'll probably be sitting at launch for this. I think that's probably fair. Maybe more if there's a roadmap, and we'll kind of see where hype's taking us.
Yeah.
So I think I think that's the first way I look at it. I missed the second half of the question. Apologies.
How can Earth2 best implement the rollout of this? What's the best way to do it?
Yeah. So I think, in terms of a rollout, there'd probably be a few stages. So first one would be definitely publishing a white paper, letting us understand how the token will work. Ideally, that would be before launch, unless only members of the community were benefiting of the launch to start off with. I think following that, it would be an attempt to, try and get some more liquidity into the platform some way. So whether introducing some kind of staking rewards or perhaps the ability for future land sales or actual sales of the coin, just to get some more money into the platform, make sure, there's some assets backing the market cap. And I think thirdly, then, having a look and driving actually some utility out of the coin that makes sense within an ecosystem and articulating the plan for that. And I think those three things will really at least give some backing, give some credibility to the crypto itself, and, provide some appetite for people consuming it.
So one thing I've always struggled with crypto, and something you mentioned, is staking rewards. Mm-hmm. How does that work, and how would Earth2 implement something like that?
So we're seeing it happen in a number of ways. So I think there's kind of your basic staking rewards, where you look at Alluvium or a few other game platforms, you literally get their coin, pop into their website, they've got an integration with a third party, whether it's Uniswap or someone else, and you just deposit the coin and they give you an APR, so an average rate per annum, and you just earn that amount of the native coin.
So basically they're holding your coin for you and you can't do anything with it, right?
Yes, and what that does is it takes coins off supply, locks it into the project, so you don't get as much supply in the market. So hopefully that, balances out some downward price pressure.
So it's kind of like you're putting your token in a savings account, so to speak, and it's generating a return.
That's right. That's right. Okay. And it shows you're going to be with the platform for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. And
is there a minimum amount of time you have to stake?
No, not necessarily.
Okay, it depends on the platform.
I'm learning. So this is actually good, and I think it'll help our listeners too, because it's something that they might see down the road, and this will help educate them. So Meta, you play a lot with crypto, and as you said, not necessarily well. So kind of tell us what your thoughts on these initial value of the coin and how it's going to work with Earth2. And what are you going to be doing with it?
Yeah, I think Hydra's spot on. I think it's really difficult to put a number on the individual on one essence, because obviously without knowing what the token supply is, and also how that token supply is going to be managed, are they going to release all the tokens at once, which I suspect not, because obviously we know that we're going to be generating essence from land. So the token supply is going to be increasing, but at the same time, getting burnt, so it's going to be deflationary, and we're going to be using essence, I suspect, for upgrading jewels or potentially upgrading from tier 2 to tier 1. So there's going to be a lot of dynamics at play that are going to have a bearing on it. But I think I agree, from a market valuation or from a market cap point of view, I can't see it sitting under 500 million. I mean, there's not a single metaverse project out there that's anywhere close to being that low, right? So they'd have to be doing something seriously wrong or have some serious issues, I think, to not get at least that level of interest from the crypto community, because it's a hot space right now. People are going to want to buy in, aren't they? Irrespective, they may not even know what the game is. I've bought tokens before and I have no idea. I bought some Alluvium the other day. I've never even been on the Alluvium website. I just saw the price and saw it was Metaverse, and I thought, yeah, let's go. Thousands of millions of people will do the same thing. So there'll be a lot of people buying, I suspect, the token without understanding.
I can actually see the initial launch of Earth2 having a spike in price. Oh, yeah. And then a massive sell-off.
Oh, yeah. And people love, assets that can generate revenue, right? And this is where it becomes, I'm sure it's something that we'll hear more from other content creators, is it a security element? Is it a security? Does it need to be registered with the SEC? Because I think that's going to be the next video. I know certainly Sid Alpha talked about the fact that he was going to be doing a video on whether Earth 2's cryptocurrency would pass the Howey test.
Well, and then is he going to do one on Decentraland? Is he going to do one on Sandbox? Is he going to do one on Alien Worlds? I mean, every freaking metaverse does it.
Yeah, exactly right. So but it's going
to
be interesting.
But they have to just pick on Earth 2 because it's the convenient target.
Right, maybe. Yeah, maybe. So but I'm interested to see because I don't think the answer's known yet. I think that some of the projects probably do have an element of running into that. I don't know how strict the SEC are.
In Republic Real Estate, when we talked with Janine and Jawad, they made that aware that that's one of the area of concern with the metaverses and crypto is it a security and future regulation of that. And I think that's something that's going to be coming into play in the future. It's just not there right now.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is to do with, you know, how they position it and guarantee. I know that some of the things around the security side is things like if you're guaranteeing profits or you're setting an expectation that something's going to increase in value. So I think there's certain things that are in Earth 2's hands to be able to play it correctly. The staking stuff would really, I'd be interested if you can just, you know, perhaps you can not just stake your essence, but maybe you can stake your land. And then any essence that it generates is auto-staked. Then maybe there's going to be some mechanisms like that, which will be in place. So if you've got your land staked, maybe you can't sell it. You know, so if you've staked tier one, class one land, that's going to take some of the supply down on class one lands. That again could impact the price.
So you can see this land being how you stake the token.
Maybe. I suspect it will be essence, but I wonder if you could lock in your land so you can't sell it for a month and it gives you a boost on essence production.
Interesting.
Or I don't know, it helps with the APY or I think there's definitely options open to them now that they're going to go blockchain to implement lots of different aspects to it. So, you know, the more staking, the better. You know, if you're not planning on selling, why not stake?
Yeah,
the more the better for me, from my point of view.
All right, Combo, Hydra and Meta talked a lot about it. Any last thoughts on this?
No, I mean, I think they pretty much hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of unknown. I think it just come down to how they distribute it, how much there is, what markets it gets on, what exchanges it gets on, and the hype surrounding it. Like you said, I think there'll probably be a big spike like there always is when something drops, and then it'll drop pretty significantly, and that'll be the time to buy it. Yep. And then,
I might actually sell right away when it spikes.
I do personally think that anyone trying to do a video about the legality of it is kind of biting off way more than they can chew because they have no idea how the U.S. is going to regulate it. So I kind of think you're talking out your butt a little bit.
I mean, the U.S. doesn't even know how to regulate any of the other cryptos.
Yeah, like if the U.S. doesn't have an idea how they're going to regulate it, some YouTuber has no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate that, but I mean, that's...
All right.
Overall, I think we'll have to wait and see. I think Lloyd could be right. I think we could be looking at least like a 500 million market cap. And I mean, that really depends on the number, total supply. I like the deflationary aspect of it though. Like Meta mentioned, I think that's sick.
And actually that's a good transition point to a user question. A user question asked what's better, deflationary or inflationary. And Lloyd actually started to explain it. So, and I said, let's save it for the show because I think it's an actually really good thing for people to learn about. So Lloyd, kind of give us your explanation that you were giving him about what's better, deflationary or inflationary, and why?
To be fair, I probably created more questions than I answered with this. I think everyone knows how standard Keynesian Keynesian or whatever you want to call it, economics has worked in the past where we have like a situation like the US dollar and all the assets are in the economy are appreciating and forever because that's what assets do supposedly, and we can print as much money as we want or we can reduce the monetary supply as much as we want and everything is quite free. And but in general you see now that, you know, the US is quite an inflationary economy as are most economies around the world. I think on the other side you've got deflationary. So I think some good examples are, you know, what we're seeing with Ethereum at the moment, where EIP 1559, that kind of implementation resulted in Ethereum being burnt. So when Ethereum is used and gas fees are incurred, a portion of those are burnt. So in terms of what's better, obviously deflationary tokens and economies are better at controlling price as a mechanism. I think inflationary economies in the past have had certain success at certain things, like providing a more equal access to goods and services. So, you know, look at some of your more communist countries, and I think, you know, both, if you take it up to a completely macro level, both China as version of economics versus the US's version of economics, they're equally as credible as each other. So I think it really depends what makes most sense in the context of this platform. And with that, understanding more about, you know, the tokenomics or what Shane and his team plan for the Earth 2 economy to look like, I can't really give you much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at how what we already know about Essence and what Meta mentioned, it does look like it's going to be a deflationary system, because you do use Essence for a number of different things. So that, in my mind, makes it deflationary. Would you agree?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So let's wrap this up. A quick discussion. And this is going to be the title of the podcast. Has Earth 2 turned a corner? What are they doing well of late? Are they finally starting to get over that hump and getting into the phase where they're actually going to be reputable and not getting scam tube videos every other week? That'll probably still happen just because they like the clicks. But I think in my mind, they are starting to turn that corner and they are doing things better. And we'll get into a little bit before we wrap up on things they need to improve upon. But what have they been doing well of late? More stuff coming out. They've been good about getting more features out, getting more things out, and communicating those things.
I mean, it was great seeing Shane on the Enter the Metaverse interview with someone from Enter the Metaverse. So
that's one of the things they need to improve upon, and I'll talk about that later, is doing more of that.
Yeah.
But seeing Shane there and actually interacting with the customer, so that was good as well. So Meta, what have they turned a corner, and what has Earth 2 been doing well of late?
I think they probably have, but I think it's very hard to know for sure. Certainly from what we're seeing, they absolutely have turned a corner. And I think there's always two ways you can look at these things, right? The partnership with Polygon Studios, definitely, I think there's anybody that's going to criticize that and say that was a terrible decision, or that that's going to sink them or whatever. So I think that's a real positive move. When you look at something like the team leaving, you know, Nathaniel and Wolfgang leaving, that could be looked at from two ways. You know, certainly you could look at it as it's really positive that Shane has got to grips with the team. He's not taking any crap from anybody that isn't put in their way or isn't on the same page as him as where he's going. And he's now got the ability to be able to flex and say, well, you know what? You don't like it. You're off the team. We're big enough now to sustain without you. So that could be a positive. But equally, without knowing everything behind the scenes, it could be that, you know, the project's fallen to pieces and they both walked, right? I mean, we've got to be realistic about this, and we don't know the outcome. I'm pretty confident that isn't the situation, because I know that they do have other developers within the team. I think the acquisition that's going to be coming through will probably be include some developers that come with it.
We already know it's Drone. I mean, I didn't really make that a talking point of this show, but we know Drone and their team is coming on because Nathaniel confirmed it himself in his own Discord.
Right. So, and the people that are on that Drone team were working alongside Nathaniel on his Unity engine, right? So if we've got those people across in E2, then we'll be okay and it will be fine. So everything is pointing to, I would say, yes, they have turned a corner. Yeah. But the problem is they've turned the corner and they've looked around and there's another massive climb. I think that's the reality of it. Turning a corner is one thing. Getting to the top is going to be another.
Yep. It's a roller coaster, and they're not nowhere near the top right now. So Snoke, had they turned a corner?
You know, it's going back on what Meta just said. It's from every downfall I've seen since, you know, November of last year, since I first joined Earth 2, I think, yes, I think, you know, they are going in the right direction now. But we just have to, you know, I know Hydra said earlier that, you know, even with joining Polygon Studios, it's going to take another 6 months to almost a year before we actually see anything come out of this. So I know a lot of people are going to be hyped up about it and stuff, but you still have to have that patience and just, you know, realize it's still going to take a little bit to before really anything comes out of even joining that studio. So
yeah, and I can already see it 1 month from now. They're going to be like, win Essence, win Token.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen.
And you'll be leading it, Hazy. You'll be leading that song.
No. I have changed.
Learn to be patient.
I have changed. Yeah. I am going to be patient. All right. Hydra, have they turned a corner?
Look, as I said, and the thing is, everyone's saying, don't know what they're roadmap is, don't know what's happening, but yes, they have turned a corner because they have a partner now, and that partner only seems to partner with respectable brands who actually have a vision and a team to back it. So at least from me, it gives me some more comfort, but I will wait to see the results. And you know, we've obviously got a session afterwards as to what they need, which will cover what they need to produce, but yeah, perhaps it looks better.
And Combo, you made your first solo E2 video in a long time, so I'm going to assume you agree they've turned a corner.
I think they've turned a corner in terms of credibility. Yeah. I don't know if they've turned a corner in anything else yet in terms of progress in the app. We won't know that yet, but in terms of credibility, yeah, I think they did definitely turn a corner.
Okay, so last point I want to talk about, what does ERF2 still need to improve upon? And I'm going to beat on this one over and over and over again because it still needs to be improved upon. Communication. We've seen some improvement on it. Shane being on the Enter the Metaverse thing was an improvement upon it. Their press releases are an improvement upon it, but they still need to do a lot more, I think, as far as interacting with the community, working with content creators like Meta, Combo, and others, Randy Chavez. I mean, people like that, having more interaction with them. So for me, and I think being more transparent, having that roadmap out there, having that white paper out there, I think, and that's part of communication, I think. They need to show more of what they're doing behind the scenes instead of being so secretive about it. That's my personal opinion. What do you think, Combo?
I agree.
Anything else you see them
think? I think the communication is, I think it's a little more complex and they just don't want to, or they're being lazy. I think there's been a lot going on behind the scenes that probably prevented them from taking those chances on some occasions. But then there's other times where they have kind of dropped the ball on it. So hopefully, I think they just need continuity. I think they just need consistency and continuity. Like, even if they don't communicate more, but at least they communicate consistently, like once a month or once every 3 months, like, whatever it's going to be, like, we just need to know and have some confidence that when they do communicate, it's going to be something substantial. And it's not going to be just like, oh, we're going to communicate to let you know we're going to communicate.
Yeah, we have an announcement of an announcement of an announcement.
Right. And so I think they need to get away from that. And the other thing I think they need to get away from is, I mean, and this is probably a personal thing, but I think Shane probably needs to work practice holding things inside. And not getting so excited, because I totally get that he gets really excited about some of these things, but it clearly seems like as soon as something happens, he like wants to go tweet about it or go share it in some way with the community. And while I get that from like an excitement perspective, you gotta just keep tight-lipped and like,
yeah, and then he does subliminal hints like hashtag PS and smart people are able to figure out that's Polygon Studios.
Right.
Anyway,
that's a personal thing. And that's the way, you know, everyone's different. Yeah. The way a person is.
So. I don't think Shane will change from that.
No, he likes his riddles. Hydra, what does ERF2 still need to improve upon?
I think I echo the thing about community management and, communication in general. I think really just displaying that roadmap. What is the vision? Why is drone coming on? What's it going to look like? And giving us something tangible to be excited about and articulating that plan, because that token is going to crash unless there is a nice, sexy plan with it that people want to buy into and keep their coins and keep their land in for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and whilst the project develops.
Okay, Snoke, any thoughts on what ERF2 needs to improve upon?
You know, I know you said communication earlier, and I think they have improved on it quite a bit. I think there's still some things that they can't do, and I was just looking because I really thought Shane even said that they're not going to officially release a roadmap, but they'll give a general idea of what's to come, especially when it becomes
he's talked about doing a general roadmap back in early November.
Okay, so yeah, it wasn't too long ago when I read that, but I think that you know, him being able to jump into RT General Chat. I know a lot of people, every time he's in there, people ask the same questions, and I can understand that can sometimes be kind of just annoying in a sense.
Oh, I certainly don't ask the same questions.
Well, but if you read a lot of the questions, there are the same questions. Like, when is
Do you
this?
Like
when
pineapple on pizza?
Yeah. So I think that's kind of the reason why the devs aren't really in Gen Chat, because it's just the same questions over and over.
But it's not just about the same questions. It's just they need to understand that them being in there gives hope and it gives hope to the community, and it makes them feel like they're valued. And I think that's the important part of those communications.
I agree on that. Yep. But yeah, other than that, I think they still have a long ways to go, and I think they're on the right path now, but communication would probably still be the top one.
All right. And Meta, wrap us up. What does Earth 2 need to do improve upon?
I think they got loads of stuff they can improve on personally. I think communications, up there for sure. Look, I want them to improve the UIs.
Definitely the user interface. Yeah.
On the website. I think it's things like, especially when we start talking about trading, I don't know if they're going to do player to player of essence. I think the way they've integrated the dual market isn't great. I think the way they've introduced, what's the other thing you can trade? Is it just jewels? Yeah.
Jewels on land. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jewels on land. Yeah. So the way that I would, you know, like the fact that all the jewels are identical, I would have thought that it would have been easier just to have a single jewel for sale at the lowest possible price. And you don't need to have pages and pages of jewels. It just makes no sense. So I think there's a lot of improvements they can do around.
I would love the ability to like bulk sell 20 jewels and not have to list.
Sell, and also to see the chart, you know, am I selling this jewel at a peak? Or am I selling it at the top or the bottom? I need to know what I'm going to get wrong. You know, I need to chart to see how bad my decisions were.
Yeah, to like sell a jewel now, you have to go into the bazaar, see what the floor price is.
Oh, it's just a nightmare.
Like when it should tell you the floor price when you go to list it to sell.
It should even if they had a single on the front page, there's a floor price for every jewel, something like that would be a start. But really, I would like some sort of trading. I think the biggest thing, and it is communication, but I think to be honest, it's Shane has got to step up as the front man for the business. And he did enter the metaverse, and he got a lot of criticism from, you know, YouTubers or whoever it might be about the fact that, you know, he isn't a polished CEO when it comes to public speaking. And you know, that's fine. You know, maybe he's not. That is what it is. But he has to become one. You know, when you look at Sandbox and you look at go on YouTube and you're doing CEO interview or VV or whatever it might be, you know, the CEOs, the front people for these businesses are really polished. They've said their pitch 30 times in the mirror. They've got it nailed down. They know what the brand's all about. They know what the goal is, what the roadmap is. And I just don't think that Shane's done that. You know, it was clear when he did the End of the Metaverse interview, when they were saying, well, what is Earth 2? He couldn't recite the same thing twice in a row. Yeah. You know, if you ask that question 2 days in a row, slightly different, which I think is a fundamental flaw in how he's presenting the business. So he really needs to get that nailed down, get his elevator pitch, get the communication up and step up to be the front man for the business. I think now that we've got, you know, Earth 2 have got a bit more credibility with linking to someone like Polygon Studios, he needs to leverage that. And Shane needs to come out now and step up and go, you know, here's all the interviews I'm going to be doing now. I am the guy that's going to be driving this project forward. And I think that's the biggest part. Forget community, you know, communicating to the community is important, but that's not going to make the project a success. Ultimately, it's nice to know stuff, but you know what, if we heard nothing for a year, but I saw regular interviews with Shane, with top brands and people, and I'd be happy. You don't need to give me a personal update in Discord, you know?
Yeah. And I've reached out to, he actually got back to me. I have reached out to do an interview with him, and he has to check it with his team. But
but I'd love to see more of that. You know, it will take time. You know, he's going to have to practice. He's going to have to really pin down. He knows what the questions are going to be because they're the same questions every single time. He just needs to have a rehearsed answer and be really clear about how he's articulating the vision and the roadmap and the progress and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And one of the things I liked about Star Atlas was how their CEO presents himself.
Right. Same thing in every interview, right?
Yeah.
You can watch any interview and he tells you the same story because it's just consistent.
But he does it well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So let's do a quick round corner and we'll wrap this up. Hydra, anything to add? Anything to say? Anything to promote?
No, nothing to add too much, except thanks very much for the opportunity to be here. I'm very excited genuinely to see where the platform goes, and also, you know, to have some more hype there again, which is, you know, which is a win. So congratulations to the Earth 2 team, and look forward to geeking out on this.
Yep. Hopefully we can do this again in another 6 months. Combo, anything to add?
No, just curious to see where everything goes. Make sure to check out the weekly Metaverse update. It's going to be popping out later today. You can blame these guys for me not filming it right now and it probably coming out an hour late.
Sorry, guys.
But yeah, make sure to check that out. Got some cool stuff I'm covering this week, like every week. I feel like every week it's crazy news in the Metaverse space now. So
awesome. Awesome. And yeah, cool definitely
hanging out with you guys.
Definitely check out Combo's Metaverse update. It's always on point. Meta, final thoughts, anything to promote?
Yeah, nothing for me. No, I appreciate you having me on. Like I say, and to anyone that's watched the whole way through, appreciate it. I hope it was interesting. And yeah, if you've got any more thoughts and whatever, leave it in the comments. I'd love to hear and read about, you know, what people think.
Absolutely.
All right. And Snoke, anything to add before we close things up?
Yeah, no, like everyone said, you know, it's exciting to have stuff happening in Earth 2. I know last couple months we've been kind of away, but you know, my name is Human back.
All right. And I did want to give it a shout out to Kangi. We miss you, brother. I appreciate Meta, Combo, Hydra coming on. Snoke, good to be back. This has been the My Name is Human Earth 2.0 podcast brought to you by MyNameIsHumanPod.com. AZ out.
Snoke out.
Get up off your knees. I came down from the stars.